and then find ways of organizing how central and decentral the communication also is.
Hello and welcome to the Data Festival online panel about organizing data and analytics. We want to talk about especially the big trends we are seeing between centralization and decentralizations. Many organizations are trying to get their head around how to best organize data analytics. So we thought this is a great topic to discuss. And please welcome now my panelists. First of all, here's Barbara Engerer, Head of Data Analytics at the appliance manufacturer BSH. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Carsten.
And here's Holger Kürm. He's a partner with Bain & Company. Hi, Holger.
Hi, Carsten.
And last but not least, we have Thorsten Kranz with us. He is Head of AI Solution at the logistics giant DHL. Hi, Thorsten.
Hi, Carsten. Hi, Barbara. Hi, Holger. And yeah, thanks for having me.
Great to have you all, actually. And we will talk about centralization versus decentralization. And Thorsten, I'd like to start with you. What's really the question here? Is it really centralization or decentralization, or aren't we seeing often more hybrid forms in organizations?
Yeah, I think you're very right here. So as so often in life, it's not black or white, it's some kind of grayscale. And I think many organizations already found a way which is kind of hybrid, so that you usually have a central team, central department, which is often called a hub, and then you have different decentralized organizations. You either call them satellites or spokes, depending on how you choose the wording in your organization. It's just names in the end. So very often the answer to central versus decentral is hybrid. But this is, of course, also not a real answer, because this defines not really how you do it. And I really believe that it's also not even on the scale from central to decentral, just one answer. I think it depends on what exactly you're looking at. You have to look at different dimensions. You have to look at, for example, what about governance? What about IT technology? What about platforms and stuff like that? Then what is about certain key resources like data engineers, data scientists, and all the different skills that you need? And I think for all of those dimensions, you have to search for a detailed answer, a fine-tuned answer to central versus decentral, which fits also to your organization in the end.
Absolutely. I completely agree. So the question is centralization or decentralization in certain dimensions. And you mentioned this would be the platforms, the governance. How do I find a balance here is often a big question, or where do I put resources? Before we look at those three dimensions in more detail, Holger, what patterns do you see for organizations when they try to find the right balance in these three? Is it typically the same, or do you see differences?
So first and foremost, I would start with it depends on our business. And depending on your business model which you are running, you might have completely different answers to this question. Just an example of a startup which is growing three digits relative year by year, it will most likely work in a very ad hoc, very fast, decentral way, just for the sake of speed, which is more important than other criteria. You have another organization's more thoughts about, I want to centralize my infrastructure. Well, how can I do this by having teams running on that one? So the business model you're running on is a key criteria, saying there is no one golden answer to this question. It depends on where you want to go. Plus, it depends on where you are on the journey. How mature are you with your data analytics organization? If you have five people in your organization, there is no benefit of having them decentral. Data scientists want to work with data scientists who want to have a community. So most likely the answer is a central model. And this is what we see quite often. As you grow in your data science maturity and as you hire more and more people or acquire more and more people, and there are touch points, there are breaking points. Might be that as of 100 people, I would say that's a good experience from my time in Adidas. As of 100 people, you want to change the way how you organize your teams. So by the size of teams, you're moving into different setups. And we can deep dive on that one. Bottom line, it depends on the business you're running and the maturity where you are in your DNA journey.
Barbara, you are in a pretty mature organization, for sure. BSH has been around for a while, pretty large. What's your take on, or how did you organize data and analytics? More central, more decentral, or how did you balance it out?
So the answer is hybrid. I think I would like to add on what Holger just said. So it is also within a company about the focus we have. So currently in the economic is, maybe not so brilliant, which means we have also all more a cost focus. So also this is something which then helps things to centralize, find synergies, be more efficient and so on. On the other side, of course, we would like to run our business, be flexible and have the speed. But it's also what I want to add is it's also about the times a company is in or the markets are in. And also this is sometimes a driver to change organizations or keep them flexible. So within DSH, we really focus on a data and analytics ecosystem, which is central. So to build the technical capabilities once as best as we can. Of course, sometimes there are speedboats and we have then the need to build additional things. But like integrating them in the central platform is there still the plan and the need. So therefore, in order to have a platform centralized, this is still one of our goals. Thinking about then the topic around data management. So how are we dealing with our data governance across the business areas and the business functions? Then I would add the same idea of the hub and spoke idea, as Thorsten called it. So yes, we have there, let's say, a central governance with minimal governance, I would even say, with few rules, but the ones we need so that we can bring all data together at some point if we need to do it. And also have the same definition of roles and the same idea how we treat data. But on the other side, the doing and like as well taking care of the data, ensuring the quality, this is all which needs business knowledge. So therefore, in this case, I would say, we are rather decentral, but as well as a minimal central governance. But when I think of the general central, decentral topic in BSH, I would say we are more decentral when it comes to solutions. So building AI solutions, building data and analytics solutions, that's more decentral. While having then rather central platform capability building also, for example, like learning paths. So building capabilities and skills on people's side. Also these kind of things, of course, we try to have one learning path for data scientists, for our data analysts and so on, and not build it for each function. So I think, yes, it's hybrid, and looking into these dimensions, it's differently answered.
Yeah, you touched on the last point you touched on, I'd like to emphasize a little bit more. So you said basically decentralized resources or solution building. What I hear often is like decentralized data products that are being produced. Sometimes it's called data mesh, sometimes not anymore, but that doesn't really matter. I think this is the big trend towards decentralization. What's the DHL way here? Do you also think about building data products decentrally?
Yeah, so this also boils down a bit again to where an organization is coming from. So if you know a bit about DHL, it has a long history, a really long history, if you look at Deutsche Post, but then also comes from multiple organizations who have been organized or combined now in the DHL group, and therefore we come from very different backgrounds. We come from a very heterogeneous landscape, and we have been working on making it more homogeneous over the time now. So for certain aspects, this is very decentral for the data products. For some of those, it's also very specific, and there's also no need to make it more broadly generic in some way. Some of our businesses, some of our divisions are very much
specific and have little overlap with other parts. On the other hand side, there are certain areas which are very much comparable. If you think, for example, about last mile delivery, we have this across the world in 220 countries and regions. We have this in multiple divisions, multiple business units. And there, of course, we are working more on synergy effects, on leveraging this jointly. And there also, coming back to what Barbara said before, there we also work on cross-departmental, cross-divisional solutions, as one example, on last mile routing. So we here, as a central team, can work on capabilities, on a solution that then can be reused in multiple parts of the company. So we learn this together with one of the divisions, and then we avoid that another part has to redo the same work and go the same learning journey afterwards by providing a scalable solution across business units. And I think this is a big advantage in a big organization, in a heterogeneous organization, if you find ways to connect also people to each other. I mean, we are almost 700,000 people in our organization, right? It's super hard to know whom to talk to. And here, such a hybrid approach with a central hub can be super helpful in connecting people who have the same problems but don't know each other.
What I'm hearing is you say, okay, solution development is also rather decentralized, but to make sure that everyone knows what's available, that you basically publish it maybe or make it reusable, that's the task for the central team here in the solution building.
Yeah, on the one hand side that, but on the other hand side, maybe also to add one other aspect on central versus decentral. The question is not just where you build up capabilities and resources, but you can also argue you should decide where to put budget to work on certain things. For example, in our case, we also have quite a big data science department centrally, not just centrally, also decentrally, we have data scientists. But the budget still sits in the organization, and we have here then kind of cross-charging implemented to make sure that the business can decide what is most valuable for themselves, what is most business critical to work on. But as also Holger mentioned before, it's sometimes hard to have super small teams of data scientists. They like to live in hordes, as I always like to say. They like to work together, and they often get lost and also will leave your company if they feel lost in the organization. So you should also decide, do you really distribute people across the organization, or do you just distribute the budget and then find ways of organizing how central and decentral the communication also is?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And Holger, not really Holger, a few years back, when you were still with Adidas, you had a presentation at the Data Festival, and you were very, very explicit that you said that the ongoing trend to put data scientists in business units, it's often nonsense. And you were really advocating to say, hey, we should keep them in the central team. Is that still today your point of view?
It is, with an explanation what it means. I think it's not obvious. First, I really believe in having 10 good data scientists, you achieve more than having 30 so-called labeled data scientists. There's a big difference between having the technical background and being at the core of doing data science work and playing around with data. So there's a big difference. The second one is, and I wanted to build up on what Torsten was saying, I truly believe analysts and also data scientists need to sit with the business. And I mean, either physically or in the virtual world in meetings, spend your time with the business, because this is where your problem is coming from. But they need to live as a community. And this can be organized by reporting lines. I usually make an example of saying controlling is working in the same way. It's not a new model. It's not a new concept. They all report into finance, but they are sitting with the business units. It's the same approach. You want the data scientists to sit in the business units to gain the domain knowledge, to know the language, and to work on solving the problems. So you want those people, which are now decentral in the business units, to be organized in a central organization so they are living the community. And this is where they are centralized. And that makes the big difference. And it's not about having 10 people in every business unit and they are organized by themselves, because one data scientist in one business unit and two other in another business unit will not work. They will most likely leave the company at some point in time and you get an attrition problem because you are not feeling talking to their own group of people. So you want to have them connect in a central way, but sitting where the problem is. So they get the domain knowledge. This is pretty much my position on that one. It's a little bit different on the engineering side, can be organized in a different way. For data scientists, they would be explicit on that one, though. And add that depending on how you operate your business, give yourself the flexibility to change this model every 2 years. In all my experience, every other year, we were thinking about, is it still the right operating model? Or do we think about organizing this in a different way? So when we say we are ending up in a hybrid organization, it only means you have a switch between central and decentral. And this level of what you do central and what you do decentral, that can change over time. So a key component is that you also, as part of your organizational development, allow yourself to be flexible in thinking about where do I allocate my people in the best way. The one big thing that changed in this setup is we were moving from projects to products the last years. And it's a completely different way to organize a product team than a project team. When you organize product teams in a way that you can easily lift and shift them from one problem to the next, you're pretty much getting a toolbox to getting out of this organizational complexity on where to allocate people. Very simple example. If your data scientist reports to you centrally to the point, I still can decide today he's with BU1, tomorrow he's with BU2, and pretty much allocate him to another problem. And that gives the flexibility in the organization to allocate where most money is coming from. Does it make sense? Does it resonate?
I think that's definitely a super important point. This staying flexible and adaptive is something you definitely have to do. You should find a starting point how you want to organize your organization in the beginning, but you have to face reality. You have to also face a changing reality. Requirements will change. Regulatory landscape changes, business changes, competition changes, technology changes. And therefore, you have to be adaptive. You also don't have to be too fundamentalistic about the approach you have chosen. Also, Barbara, you mentioned before, like you have central approach for technology, build it only once, but still you allow speedboats for certain situations where it's more adequate to do it. Instead of having a quick organization, a quick team have to wait for a central ability to become available in the platform, maybe you have to let it go for the first time and incorporate it back afterwards. So stay flexible, adaptive, and yeah, in the end, solve the business problems. That's the core we all should be working on.
So what we actually shaped centrally in this case is the roles. So we have 8 data and analytics roles. And we really tried hard to carry it around the whole company that we understand the same thing of those guys. Because at the very beginning, it was like everybody was searching a data scientist. And when I saw that in the internal shop market, sometimes I was calling the guys to say, are you really searching a data scientist? Oh, now somebody needs to work with data. Maybe it's a data analyst. So maybe we need a different skill set even, right? So understanding the same of the different roles in the company is a crucial point. So that, and also if we have different names for the same thing, it's very hard. So we really tried hard and continuously over years to have the same 8 data and analytics roles. And there is a data analyst, for example, and there is as well a data scientist. And we really make the difference that the one guy is really has a broad business skill set, also process knowledge, whereas the other guy is programming. And that already helps to understand across the company on the one side, where are the guys, which skill set they have. And I mean, programmers likely are close to IT or in IT. But like, that's also not mandatory. I think everybody can decide. Still, I think we that some of the skills we need even more. They are bigger and they are then even more decentralized. And on the other side, we have roles where experts teams, like the exchange between each other, as you said, Thorsten, data science, what a data scientist wants to have most is a second data scientist next to him or her, right? So I think that's true. And explicitly now having the outlook towards AI, then new roles are appearing as well. So we have the machine learning engineer, where all the topic around software comes in even more, right? Software engineering topics come in even more in this field, which was a different role, not so close to at least BI in former days, right? So these roles are also new. They get combined. New skill sets appear here. And also for those now, it's also a topic around maturity. So if the maturity of a topic is big already, then decentralization is more likely than if a topic starts newly. Then I think growing it out of a central unit and then decentralize at some point is also a way forward. So I just wanted to open the topic around that the skill set is also changing and mixing up, especially in the field of AI with different roles, which we had before. And these roles need each other. So a machine learning engineer should be close to a data scientist, in my opinion, then.
Torsten, Barbara, Holger just mentioned that you might want to find a different approach for data scientists and data engineers, or you could. Do you do that in your organization, or is it pretty much similar for data engineers and data scientists, where you put them and how do you treat them organizationally?
So we have two roles for that. So the data engineer and we have the data scientist, and each has a dedicated learning path. Each end up in a dedicated community, and data engineers are located in IT. Data scientists, that's a bit also grown like that, mainly in IT, but as well single ones or few ones also pairing up at some point in dedicated areas. So I think, yes, we are treating it differently, I would say. Sometimes really historically grown. Why? So I'm like convinced of, if we want to scale our products, that is an IT job. And that is also my point. So having great ideas, doing great POCs, understanding the solutions, this needs to come and has to come out of the business areas. But when a solution is ready and when we would like to see if it's scalable, if we can reuse, if there is a potential to do so, then we are back to basic IT, because this is what IT is doing. And therefore, yeah, I think that's exactly the trade-offs we have. And sometimes we decide in this direction, sometimes in this. We are, I think, especially for those scaling and implementing roles in IT.
Mm. Yeah, definitely agree to a lot of what you said. And yeah, before saying how we do it, I think it's also important to acknowledge that you usually need much more engineering resources, not just data engineering, but also related profiles like ML ops engineer, platform engineer, stuff like that. You need quite a lot of them. Holger said like 10 good data scientists can be definitely sufficient. And I agree that you can also put a lot of you can leverage really the capabilities of data scientists if you equip them with sufficient support from engineering roles. And yes, usually for us, it's the same that data scientists very often sit distributed in the business, are close to business teams also, while engineering roles are more centralized, more in the IT organizations, also in central teams, and then also larger numbers usually.
Yeah, excellent. There's, I think, one final question around this topic of resources and where to put them and how they work together. That's actually who pays for them. So where's the budget here? And Holger, I know you see a lot of organizations. What's your take on this topic?
I would start with, I see a big risk. So one of the things I see quite often not going well, whereas there's a big differentiation between the leaders in the industry and those that are following, is how they execute on their budget investment decisions. And the one thing we can really say is that those that achieve the highest level of effectiveness and ROI are those that focus very clearly on what they put the money on and where to invest. And one of the risks which comes to decentral versus central is, in a decentral organization, you quite fast have the risks that money gets split out a little bit everywhere, but not really focused on the strategic priorities. So you have, with one data scientist and one BU, a very small little project here, making your 10K, and it's always questionable what is coming back. Those strategies rarely win. Those strategies that win are those that say, we have a very clear focus, we have a very clear commitment. This is what we want to deliver, which is centrally developed. You have a company strategy, you have a corporate strategy, you have a vision independent of the organization, and you clearly allocate your money, what pays into your strategy. And that comes along with not only the investment allocation, which is about resources, it also comes along, what's the focus for the people? and how do you group your teams together? And that might change along the yearly strategic cycles. It's perfectly fine. The big risk is to get lost in too many things. Focus, focus, focus. And that comes with budget decisions.
Maybe to add on this, or I would also partially disagree a bit to this, to be honest, because I see a point that only larger initiatives will survive in the end. There's a saying in our organization that the lawnmower doesn't have respect for the flowers, but only for the trees. So only the larger initiatives will survive in the end. But this is, of course, only partially true. On the other hand side, often if you do top-down decisions in a complex organization, they might also get lost somewhere at the middle management level, might not find the acceptance that they need to really come then to execution in the end. So what I have seen very successful, not just at DHL, but also my former role when I still was a consultant, is a mixed approach. I think you need bottom-up innovation, smaller projects to try out things, but then also clear processes to stop things that do not work and to pick up ideas that came up decentrally and make bigger initiatives out of it afterwards. The most successful examples I have seen so far have always been like local ideas, local experiments, local tryouts that afterwards were recognized to be scalable, to be broadly accepted and to be also be broadly replicated, for example. And this is for me a bit twofold. Yes, you need big initiatives, but only if you know where to put them and you can have found them usually in bottom-up innovation.
I would like to talk about that one a little bit. First, I could agree. Innovation is coming out of the organization. You cannot create innovation with one person. Innovation is pretty much the collective knowledge of your organization creating fantastic ideas, and you want to double down on innovation. That's a good thing. Budget versus resources is, for me, this is something, at least in my time in Adidas, we have done with the existing people. There was not a million budget behind. That was people take time. You have 20, 30, 40, 50% of your time to think about innovation and create new ideas. If this is something you're coming up from our internal knowledge, test it out for the next 8 weeks. I'm fine with that. This is where the ideas were created. When I talk about budget, I mean the big investment decisions. So you're bringing in external parties helping you or any other kind of solution, or you're buying something. But this is where the money is going, while the internal resources, they have had a lot of flexibility to come up with their own ideas and try their own, I would on purpose not call them hobbies, but their own passion. They get excited about a topic and they're coming up with good ideas. So this is the balance, Torsten, I would see. That works quite well.
I think it's not about big or small initiatives, because when I think of the understanding when a solution is ready, I think this is already, the bigger the organization, the harder it is, because I think many people believe once they see something that the solution is ready. And actually, as an IT guy, you know, then the work starts, right? And then the big investment starts afterwards, right? So that's why I think it's not about small and big ones. The question is, What costs? So it, our platforms cost. So it's hardware, software, which costs and needs budget. And it's, of course, people invest, like, so whoever does develop the solutions. And therefore, I think I would agree to this point from you, Holger, that you say it's about the focus, because it's the question where you invest in. And if you invest in a central platform or in a decentral platform, and that you choose, it depends, right? My heart says central platform, but I'm an IT architect. I cannot say something else, right? This is where I'm coming from. On the other side, it makes sometimes both sense. The question is, which initiative do you focus on? And not like invest today, but not tomorrow, but the day after again. This is things which happen sometimes. But really focus on the right thing. And then if you have then decentralized setup of your platform or ecosystem, it can also work. So I think it's more about putting focus, not investing in everything, but rather identifying first where's the value, the biggest value, and then invest. And yeah, I think many, many companies start with everything. And then, what's actually the biggest value? So I think that is something which is more the key for budgeting and investing topic than if it's a small or a big initiative.
We now talked a lot about the resources side of things. Yeah. So where are people allocated and so on. And Barbara, now you mentioned the platform topic. And so far, everything I heard only a little bit from you, but you seem to be propagating a more central approach. And I'm a little bit critical about that because when I look back in history, be it the data warehouse, be it the data lake, however we call it, lake house, typically the inflexibility of central data platforms actually sparked decentralization movements, yeah, being it self-service BI or however you want to call it. So I wonder what's your take is on that. Yeah, aren't we always in a danger with central platforms to be too slow, too inflexible, and then start to create movements towards more and more decentralization?
Platform for me is not one system anymore. It was. So I was responsible to as an IT project lead to build up our central data lake in BSA years ago. And I really thought, yes, we will have one data lake where everything goes in. Now I'm kind of, yeah, smiling about this idea because this will never work. So why should we put all data from everywhere in one physical system or virtual system? I mean, of course, cloud solution, but I think it's not so much about the one physical system or one database. It is about this ecosystem I am talking about. That's a platform for me. So it's what do I mean with that? The things need to go together. We, as a big company, we have a huge SAP stack. Of course, we now have as well a huge cloud stack. And if this architecture is not built together, if this architecture has not optimized interfaces, is not thought from what is back end, what is front end, which tools work with what, if we don't think that in a whole, it will never work to find synergies and efficiency in working with data. Also, how we offer and provide data for everyone in the company. These virtualization layers, they are tricky. And I would love to have one virtualization tool just from my heart. But also there, it's hard because not every tool works with this every platform setting. And that's why, yes, I changed over the years from one system to one platform. And I really mean this ecosystem thought. So this architecture and its more systems behind which need to go together, but there needs to be one target architecture. Let me call it like that. Who's shaping the whole stack, building BI solutions, building AI solutions.
What you're describing is, I think, sometimes called a data fabric. Is that resonating with you? And Thorsten, what do you do in this regard? How do you avoid your central platforms to be like not agile enough for the business or the speed of business?
I think the data side of things at DHL is a bit too complex. Due to the complexity of the organization, I think it's not a good blueprint for others. But to what also Barbara said before and also your question a bit, maybe I can quickly talk about how we handle it with our data science and AI platform. Here also, we do not build on one system and not one deployment for the data scientists, but still we ensure compatibility. We ensure that we build on an approach that can then be replicated automatically for different business units, for different regions, which have different requirements. We intentionally have a multi-cloud strategy, and therefore we do not want to fix ourselves on just one cloud provider. So we have developed the platform in a way that basically at the press of a button, we can deploy it in GCP, in Azure, in AWS, all based on top of Kubernetes, and then always linked to the interfaces that are needed, connected to the data sources and all, which is then again, very much specific to the different parts of our organization. And this is then maybe something that can be tried, make sure that you have a homogeneous approach, but it doesn't have to be one system. Definitely not.
Hey, the Data Festival is around the corner again. On March 26th and 27th, we'll be back in Munich in the Muffatwerk and on three stages over 2 days. You have the opportunity to hear lots of interesting use cases, how companies made data and AI real, how they implemented it, what they learned, And next to this great content, we have a big emphasis on getting you connected with the data community, with everyone that is working in data and AI in Europe. Don't miss it. Sign up now. All right. At the beginning, we said there are three main domains we should look at when we talk about centralization versus decentralization, which are the resources where the work is done. These are the platforms. We also talked about that now. And the third one was the data governance. And Holger, you see a lot of companies. Do you agree to my observation that legislation like the EU AI Act is driving more centralization in this regard?
No. Very, very simple answer. I would laugh, I would see it, but I actually don't see it in the market. What we really observe is we have more and more conversations around data governance. Even in use case discussions, this topic is all the time coming up. So it's top of mind for executives to think about what are we doing in this regard. And usually the answer is not an easy one. How do we handle this? It's a different animal we want to tackle. What happens in the area on data governance is it's understood that one central data governance team does never have the bandwidth to take care of data governance and data quality for everything. They can definitely look into the most important topics. This is what happens quite often, that legal topics, production topics, that they are recognized, or in the VHL example, I would assume that the logistics topics, that they are running really well, but never everything that is going on in a company. So the whole idea with the data mesh was exactly to distribute this along the organization, and I still believe the data mesh is on the road to come. Those topics take time. This is nothing you execute in 12 months. I'm not surprised that it takes longer than most companies expect that this takes. This for me is, as so much change management is involved, is naturally a 2-3 years journey to establish a data mesh, to truly embed it in the organization. But those companies that truly embed it, they get the bandwidth by starting, and this is one of the core principles I always mention, data quality can only be fixed at source. At the moment you start with fixing this within the pipeline, you're already doomed because you're creating two versions for one data set. It only creates more issues. And at the moment you establish this principle and you are starting building the IT systems, which are often not existing, to support this. And at the moment the users know by any kind of informative system telling them there's an issue, please have a look. That is the moment when the data quality improved. And that is the moment when you establish a federated data governance model that finally works. And you have a central team thinking about all of this and how to move this forward, but the execution, the real hands doing it, that cannot be in a central team. That will never fly. And I see more and more companies going into this direction and asking a lot of questions on how can we do this? So this is, in my view, one of the top of mind questions. And the EU AI Act, to your point, is definitely the one that is triggering those questions, but not leading to a better data governance itself. It is still the principles of the data mesh.
Yeah, I completely agree. Federated is basically the way. I think it also resembles to the hybrid topic we had at the beginning. Thorsten, Barbara, is federated also your way?
Clearly, yes. This is exactly what we are building. That's what I've tried to describe with the minimum governance. That's the central team trying to provide the common way of working and guidelines, kind of. And then definitely decentralized teams, data owners, data stewards in each of the data domains in order to be able to keep track of data and also the data ensure data quality. The big thing where we currently do not yet have a tool is the tool topic. As you said, Holger, I also believe this needs to be automated and there are tools. So this is something where we are not yet at, but the organization and the build up, and also we have kind of a policy and regulation in the company exactly describing this target of rating on.
Yeah.
And Thorsten, in an organization of 700,000 people, isn't governance like a super big challenge?
It is a challenge, definitely. I mean, we should not forget that the majority of the 700,000 people are really operational workforce, and they do not talk too often about data and AI in their daily work, but rather about mail and parcels and bigger shipments. But nevertheless, it's a big topic. Definitely, yes.
And federated, yes. We talked a little about data governance, but especially as you also mentioned, the EU AI Act, the requirements coming from there on responsible use of AI are another good example where you need a mix of centrally defining the rules. And exactly that is what we did. On board level, we decided what the governance is, the policy that has to be stick to. But this implies a decentral accountability where then it is clear who has to set up the processes that the requirements are really fulfilled. We give guidance on that. We give support on that. But we do not fix it for each part of the organization because there are different backgrounds. As I described before, we are very heterogeneous as DHL, coming from different kinds of organization. So centrally defining the rules, centrally defining the principles and accountabilities, and then giving room to individually define how exactly the processes look like to fulfill the requirements which come from the central guidelines.
You perfectly teed up the follow-up discussion, which is on AI governance, but this will be taking place at the Data Festival in Munich on 26th and 27th of March. And it's already in the agenda, the panel on AI governance, and I'm looking forward to that. Let's come to our final round. Maybe a quick summary from each of you, just in a few sentences, but maybe also looking at maybe some tips and tricks, some experience you want to share under the topic. Okay, we talked about centralization, decentralization, basically how to organize data and analytics. And maybe what are your key recommendations? How do I do that right? How can I succeed with that? What are the pitfalls you want everyone to know about and to basically avoid them? And I do a quick round and I start with Holger.
Two things. First, I believe this is a topic that is so new that we are all still learning and how things work. Having said this, that to be successful requires a strong leader that knows the game. So I really believe that in this territory, you should have someone in leadership who has grown up in this territory. There is this mindset of leaders can lead everything. On that topic, I would challenge back and say no. If you really want to lead data analytics, you need to have your roots in data analytics and pretty much bring the experience it needs in this field. The second one is keep your flexibility. Meant by that is whatever you have at the moment, whatever you plan to do, it is definitely not the end stage. In my experience, data analytics is transforming itself every other year. And be open to that. Technology is revolutionizing every other year. New things are coming around. New concepts are coming around. Be open to that. And with all the change in the business, also your technology and data organization will change. Plus, always be very clear on where you want to go. Something like, I want to get data governance under control. So be very, very clear on your vision.
Excellent. Barbara, what are your key recommendations?
So what I learned over the years, having my roots in this field, is really without a clear mandate from the board, it is simply not possible to drive central and decentral. So then things happen, sometimes central, sometimes decentral. But I think the clear board mandate in order to act from a central perspective as well, integrating decentral aspects, as we saw, it's not just one central or just decentral. That is my first point. That is definitely something the deep board buy-in we need to work on. And the second thing is, in order to make central and decentral work, it's about people. It's about communicating with each other. It's about transparency and communicating. So the bigger skill even is to listen to each other, to work with each other, to make hub and spoke work, always needs communication and in both directions. So being open, having these communities where let's say the experts are sitting together on a working level, but as well, the leaders need to sit together and, communicate well, agree on the central and decentral approach and how the things go together. This is the thing. So I would say board buy-in and communication explicitly on the leadership level. That's the key.
And Thorsten?
Yes. I also have two things I would like to say. First thing would be, there is no right or wrong. Holistically, you have to find a way that fits your organization. What I explicitly do not mean is build it to replicate existing structures or existing territories also of individual persons. This is definitely a pitfall I would highlight, which you definitely should avoid. But nevertheless, find something that is somehow fitting your organization. And as I said, there is not the optimal way, the one best way to do it. And then the second thing is really stay flexible. Be clear on the vision where you want to go, but be flexible on the way. Allow also deviations from time to time in this rapidly changing market and situation that we have. You have to be adaptive, but be clear on where you want to go, what the target state should be, and then move forward step by step and be patient.
Excellent. Thank you all for all your insights, your recommendations, sharing your experience. It was a real pleasure. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you all in person in Munich in March in 2025 for the Data Festival. See you then. Bye-bye.